Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Save big money on your roofing project at Menards with Owens Corning Shingles. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements and enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning Duration Shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 24 colors of Owens Corning Duration Shingles and transform your home today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School. Sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up? We're back. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, Old School, the New School Way. One more hour before we turn it over to Demo and Ashton one last time. But before we do that, everybody's been waiting just to drop the knowledge, Austin.
I don't need any special technology, no special equipment to receive this
message.
All you
do is just pull up the new top 25.
I just got to believe my lion eyes.
Because it's going to pull up the top 25. Let's do this right now.
We'll do it right now.
This is just like the new age of being in college where you can take open book and open computer tests. And I don't know how you're not eligible, but I don't know if people aren't eligible.
You're really trying to not go to school.
Yeah, you're trying to really, you know, mess up. So let's just look at the rankings here, right? In week three, this is what they are. We'll just focus on our Tennessee Volunteers.
Ah,
right. Okay. In week three, by the AP, right? Let's go to AP. They moved up seven spots from last week. They were 22 last week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now let's look at I hate Michigan. And I hate the players from Michigan. I respect them all, but there's only one player from Michigan that I like, and he was a high school teammate of mine, Jason Kapsner. All the other guys from Michigan, Benny Joppru too. You know, he's a high school teammate. Actually, both of them.
There we go.
Yeah.
Everyone else suspect at best.
At best. Now let's look at Michigan, right? So they were 15 last week. They go and lose on the road. To Oklahoma, by no means a blowout, 11 points. They drop 8 spots.
To a team that was rated, as of last week, 3 places below them. And not 30.
Yeah.
3.
3. And Oklahoma beats Michigan, okay, and goes up 5. But let's just focus on Tennessee.
But we can't just flip those two?
Yeah.
From 15 and 18 to 18 and 15?
Right. We really got to drive in. How dare you lose? You're one loss away from going out of the top 25.
You just won a national championship 2 years ago.
Right. But let's focus on Tennessee. Why did Tennessee go up 7 spots? Why do you think? Well, if you had to guess, why?
Style points.
No. Nope.
Josh Heupel effect.
Nope. Because if you think of style points.
Because Joey Aguilar made the choice to go to God's Conference and Nico left.
If you had style points, okay, Nebraska would be receiving votes. Other teams that received votes. Arizona State, 94 in a loss, a bad loss to Mississippi State. BYU, Georgia Tech only got 78. Florida has 70. Let's just even go to Nebraska.
Florida has 70. Florida.
That lost to South Florida. That's a horrible. You should have 0. Nebraska, okay, struggled in week 1, blew out to Akron. They received 10 votes. 10. Considering that we have potentially a huge game, which you potentially could have big noon kickoff or whatever it is that they're in 2 weeks, mm-hmm. or a little bit less than 2 weeks, here in Lincoln. You get 10 votes. So when you're looking at what Nebraska's at and Georgia Tech's closer than Nebraska, where you're looking at a huge hill to climb just to be a top 25 team. right? Mm-hmm. So if Nebraska, when Nebraska blows out Houston Christian again this week, what are we going to get, 20 votes? But Tennessee beats up on, you know, Willie Lump Lump University, they go up 7 spots. I'll ask you again, why? You want to know why? You want to know why?
Because Greg Sankey.
Greg Sankey is manipulating the process like Vince McMahon.
Tennessee beats Syracuse by 19 the opening week, and then East Tennessee State, Jalen George University, 72-17.
Yeah.
And that's enough and to move up.
That's a reason for you to move up 7 spots.
Let's look at this here, though, Jamie. We can focus on Tennessee, but look at the teams around them. Georgia wins, drops 2. Mm-hmm. Oregon wins, rises 2. Okay, mm-hmm. One piece of evidence to the contrary.
That's
Notre Dame up, Illinois up, Florida State up 4. South Carolina wins and drops. Clemson only drops 4, despite Troy. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the Oklahoma. Iowa State beats a borderline top 25 team, goes up 2. Mm-hmm. Tennessee 7. Guess who moves up right behind him, Jay? A&M, Ole Miss, Alabama.
Yes, but that's not
also
it.
All moved up.
Austin, you're falling for the banana in the tail.
No, I'm telling you, look at all these other SEC teams that moved up that Michigan arguably could have been still ahead of.
Right. But the banana in the tailpipe is Georgia. Is Georgia. They just did it. So, we'll just drop you 2 spots to make it look like.
Oh, and I pointed that out.
Yeah. You did.
Uh-huh.
But they're doing mm-hmm. that. When you started to talk, if you said, why did Michigan drop 8 spots or whatever, mm-hmm. right? And then everybody else moved up 3. They were like, well, we dropped Georgia too, because Georgia is the crown jewel right now. Mm-hmm. That's the banana in the tailpipe. Here's how I know it's WWF. Here's how I know it's WWF. Because Tennessee plays Georgia. The SEC needs a top 15 game to cover their back, which is called hedging their bets. Mm. If Georgia loses, right, they lost to a top 15 team, they won't drop out of the top 10. Nope. If Tennessee wins, they're up. And then guess
in the top 10.
And then guess who plays Tennessee the next week? Just guess.
Alabama?
Bama.
Of course.
Exactly. Bama plays them next. Bama gets Molly a national embarrassment against Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then they beat up on whoever the next week or this last weekend. Mm-hmm. They move up 2 spots. Louisiana Monroe. And then they move up 2 spots. So now you're double hedging your bets. And then they said, you know what? To make it even better, Florida State beats a weak Alabama team or weak-minded Alabama team. And then they beat the tar out of whoever, right, last week. And we're going to move you up 4 spots. College football is not real. Strength of schedule is not real.
We'll go to this on Alabama too, Jane. You know who they got this week?
Who?
Wisconsin.
Oh, that.
Wait. Here, remember what the narrative's going to be. Wisconsin might be building something under Luke Fickell.
Yeah.
We don't care if it's home, but look how Alabama handled him.
Yeah.
Then Kalen DeBoer's back on track.
Yeah.
We trust him.
And then you're building up the game 15. Again for against Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
It's all smokescreen. This shows you right now. This is not me going to bat for Nebraska. Nebraska still needs to do what they need to do, right? I mean, this take Nebraska out of it. They are look. Notre Dame moves up a spot and didn't play.
They didn't what?
They didn't play. They're 0-1. They moved up a spot. Illinois beat the brakes off upstart Duke team, and they only move up 2. This is manipulated by Vince McMahon of the college football playoffs and Greg Sankey. College football rankings, the strength of schedule is not real. It's not.
And we need to get to a spot in college athletics where that can be true. Because guess what? In the NFL, strength of schedule is also not real. But guess what? There's also no rankings where we have to pretend it's real. We have very clear qualifications for the playoffs in the NFL. We have convoluted, muddied up qualifications for the playoffs in college football. Mm-hmm. That's why, I'll use an Ellie Apfel word here, we're being gaslit into believing the strength of schedule matters. It's what do I think matters? What do you think matters? We can agree that this matters. Okay, now it matters.
It is gaslight. It is not real. It's not real. It's all fake. It's just create a bunch of drama. This is WWE. It is completely false. And this isn't even about Nebraska getting into any votes, but when you look at it, it's like the if you do anything associated with the SEC, it's like you get more, you get super boosted, like South Florida going from unranked to top 20. And then if you lose to them, it's a good loss no matter what.
You get more credit and less blame.
Yeah, and then you'll get a promotion just by association because Tennessee.
The Sean McVay effect.
Yeah, Tennessee says, you know what? We beat the brakes off of East Tennessee State or whoever, and we move up 7 spots because every game in the SEC, they're saying.
It just means more.
Means more. That's why I say it's false. The grip on college football is they lost their grip on college football, so they're now manipulating the process. It's the modern day version of Enron.
Oh gosh,
it is.
I see what you're saying.
It's
not the example I would have gone with, but I love it.
It is. They're manipulating. It is whatever you do in the stock market, they're doing.
It's Martha Stewart insider trading.
It is to 1,000%. 1,000%.
So who is Greg Sankey Snoop Dogg then?
Oh, that's a good one. It's probably Kirby.
Ooh.
Playing low key. Take a little bit of because Kirby knows this. If and when Georgia beats Tennessee, they're gonna be top 5 anyways.
Here's the thing. We know it's not our guy Rich Clark.
No.
We know Rich Clark has integrity.
Yeah.
And he's not falling for any of this stuff.
Right.
Shout out Rich Clark. Fantastic interview at Big Ten Media Days.
Yeah, it's not him. You know you ain't coming over there with that. It's Greg Sankey doing this all behind the scenes. And you know what it is? Even though I don't like Hulk Hogan personally, I like Hulk Hogan persona in WWF. Kirby's Hulk Hogan. He's the one working against everybody else. He said, I'll act like I'm just taking a little on the chin.
I'll be the heel.
I'll be the heel because I know once we beat Tennessee, we're going to be top 4 anyways.
By virtue of having a now top 15 win.
Yep. And guess what?
Circular logic.
And we'll do Bama solid. We'll just keep bringing you along just because you're Bama. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like that.
You can write our coattails.
That family
now.
Member that you keep helping out. You're going to finally get it right.
You were there for me 10 years ago. I guess it's my turn to be there for
it's
you.
It's reciprocal. Mm-hmm. It's all fake, man. Because when you look at it, if you're looking at style points, why isn't Texas Tech and Utah ranked higher?
Utah especially.
Right.
The way they dominated.
I mean, you got all these different teams. And sure, yeah, Clemson has not looked good the last 2 weeks. They go down. They moved to 4 spots. I understand that. Has South Carolina been so dominant that they're top 11? I mean, Florida State, sure. Illinois, I would have liked to seen up a little bit higher. But the big jump is Tennessee going up 7 spots after beating East Tennessee State because they're playing Georgia. What are you saying? Well, they're ready to go now?
After East Tennessee State?
Yeah, you're ready now? Because how dare that Georgia plays anybody not in the top 15? or right. Alabama plays anybody in the top 15?
I think a big piece of this as well, I mean, aside from the points that you raise, is that there is something to the concept of anchoring. When you get an idea in your mind, it's hard for you to want to deviate from it, sometimes despite evidence. You know, has Clemson played like a top 25 team yet this year?
No.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply in-app only.
And yet voters are scared to move them down because it's almost like when you look at the AP top 25, it's less of a snapshot of the information we have so far and more of a snapshot of this is what we thought in the offseason and this is where we think it could end up.
And we're going to hold
later.
You to it until you it's almost like you have to go above and beyond and then beyond, because also here's where the Georgia Tech thing comes in. So Georgia Tech goes to Colorado. That's an impressive victory. Yes, Shador's gone and all those guys. But going to Colorado on the road and winning an exciting game when it was back and forth, that kind of puts you on the map. Okay, Georgia Tech is for real. You should have been able to springboard Georgia Tech into being in some sort of consideration off of what they did last year, right? And then they turn around and they beat the living heck out of Gardner Webb. So you have style points. You win a legitimate game, and then you have the blowout. Now, sure, but then here's how it affects Clemson. You lose a game at home against LSU. You did not look good, and you definitely didn't look good at the second half. Well, then now you have the next game. You didn't have the get right game. You barely got through that. So now that Georgia Tech isn't ranked, so even if you beat Georgia Tech in an impressive way, you don't get those. You don't get
same
the same
credit.
Points. So essentially, it's you. You know what it is? They just keeping brothers down, man.
Brutal.
This is it right here. I'm telling you, college football.
These things happen in the
college
South.
Football. It's not uncalled real. For. It's not real. It's not. You cannot tell me it's real.
I will tell you and clarify for the audience that Alabama and Tennessee do play in October. They have UAB next week.
Next, and then they play.
Then it's Mississippi State. Then it's a bye week. Then Arkansas. Then it's Alabama.
Okay, well, who does Tennessee play after Georgia?
UAB.
Okay. Well, then that's how they're setting it up then. So they're stair stacking it. They're stacking
in this one.
Yeah.
Then you have a ramp, right? Say Georgia beats Tennessee. Lose to Georgia, beat UAB, go on the road, beat Mississippi State. Oh, that's a tough, hard-earned conference win. It's tough in the SEC. I mean, hey, look at these guys. They just beat Arizona State a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Then you host Arkansas after a bye week. Oh, could have been rusty. Could have been rusty coming off a bye. You know, this early in the season. Win that one somewhat convincingly, and then you're looking at top 15 games.
Then I would ask you, how good
Tennessee
is Kansas?
Bama.
How good is Kansas that Missouri goes and is ranked now? How good is Kansas? Is now you're trying to tell me the Missouri win over Kansas is worth moving Arizona State out of the top 25?
Missouri was in there at 25 last week, weren't they?
It said, well, the AP says they weren't ranked.
Okay, never mind that. I know South Florida wasn't ranked last year.
Three teams that weren't ranked that are in the top 25. And guess where two of the three are from? The SEC.
SEC.
Auburn. Who has looked pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Rightfully so. Mm-hmm. And they're ranked probably properly in Missouri. Probably so. But then you're just going to just jettison Arizona State. You're not going to make South Florida validate it. Is Boise really for real the way they got beat?
We'll see.
Where's Boise going to be? Where's that going to be that great win for South Florida if Boise ends up being like 45th in the nation?
I mean, even 45th, to your point. Yeah. I was going to say, what if they go 4-8, kind of like that Mark Helfrich team that Nebraska
then
beat?
I mean, South Florida, I like them, but I'm just saying the SEC is getting some serious bias. That's why I say college football and the strength of schedule is not real. It's not. It is manipulated. It is WWF. It is calling in favors because the last 2 years, you have a Big Ten national champion. Mm-hmm. Nobody, and then Nick Saban lost.
Left. Two different Big Ten champions, by the way.
And Nick Saban is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Just telling you. I mean, what do you think? There you go.
Let's get to this from the text line. 5377. Polls this early in the season are the problem. Shouldn't have polls until after week four at the earliest. Patrick says, I don't think they should put any rankings out until after week four. Would that solve the problem? Would it help
could,
at all?
It could, but it still would be manipulated anyways. Because that's a great point. I would be fine with that, and that's fine. But a lot of it is off, and you need to have it because we're talking about it. But let's say Alabama wins by 30, Nebraska wins by 40. Alabama's still going to get the benefit of the doubt, just on paper. And it's because, a lot of this stuff is based on recruiting, off-season hype, who they have. And rightfully, you should project. And I have no problem with preseason rankings, preseason All-Americans, and all that stuff because that's just part of college football. It is fine with it. But I find it hard to believe that the University of Tennessee moves up seven that looks so impressive that you're moving up seven spots after beating East Tennessee State, and is primarily based on because who you play next week. Nobody else can do that. Mm-hmm. Nobody else can, and that's where, and like you said, the anchoring part, it's in your mind. They've essentially, whether you use Ellie's thing where you've gaslit or you've just manipulated our thought process, is everybody thinks that everything is bigger and better in the SEC. Top to bottom.
Yeah. 0167 voters literally do not watch or even care to look up the results of the games. Now it's hard. right, to be able to watch that many number of games, because you don't want to just rely on box score watching. You don't want to just rely on anecdotal evidence. You know, being a top 25 voter should be something that's taken seriously. I'm not saying they don't. I'm saying it's hard to do at the level that I think we would want them to in terms of the amount of data that they're able to gather. And then here's this from Scaper. Does it really matter when in college football, one of the top six teams is probably going to win it anyways?
Yes and no, because it was one of the top six teams is put there. And when you're one of the top six teams, you kind of have an easier path than if you're one of the bottom six, right?
Yes, and that's where I think Scaper's point is more about they're going to be in the playoff anyways, so why does the AP poll matter? Well, because the AP poll, fair or not, does have some influence on the college football playoff rankings. Now, yeah, it's not like it's formulaic and feeds into it, but guess what? Committee members are humans too. They're going to see and read the same things. Maybe they have some of the same conceptions of these teams in their mind. So they see the AP poll. Oh, this is what all these people think. You know what? I could go that way too. I can see what they're going for. I'm not willing to be the one to upset the apple cart here about it. So yes, Gaper, I see what you're saying in that the top six teams in the country, I mean, that's probably how many have the requisite talent to win a title. Sure. But even that's changing now in the playoffs. It's not like the two or three most talented teams in the NFL always end up playing in the Super Bowl.
Right.
You know, the bigger the playoff, the less talent comes into play in some cases. But yes, it affects it, but it doesn't, I guess.
Yeah, and I mean, I would just ask this. Between Tennessee, Texas A&M, and Ole Miss versus Iowa State, and let's just say Illinois, which one of those SEC teams has earned the benefit of the doubt over the last two that I just mentioned? There's not any recent big games. Yes, Tennessee got into the college football playoff last year, but it was just essentially you just had the good enough schedule and you kept your head above water. Texas A&M was a huge letdown. Ole Miss missed a huge opportunity. And Tennessee has been kind of teeter-tottering up and down to where they're at, and they did put together a good year last year. Versus Iowa State's been very consistent, and so has Illinois. Especially under Brett Bielema. Mm-hmm. So now granted, Illinois needs to do some things, and same with Iowa State. All I'm saying is that the benefit of the doubt is starting to really ring true. I think if I'm counting right, 1, 2, 3, 4. Out of the top 25, the Big Ten has six teams. And Michigan's hanging on by a thread. And you know, whether you like Indiana or love them or think that they kind of did the schedule, pimping, as I like to call it, they beat a more than game Old Dominion team. Old Dominion, James Madison, and it used to be North Dakota State. They will give any FBS team a run for their money, year in and year out. Mm-hmm. So they beat Old Dominion. They beat the brakes off of Kennesaw State. Now they got Indiana State, and then they obviously have a big game against Illinois. But coming off a huge year last year, they're no different than Tennessee. Probably Tennessee's obviously a little bit farther ahead, you know, obviously. But have they not earned the benefit of the doubt? They're ranked down there at 22. They got the cachet with the coach. They right. went in and got the guys out of the portal. They're bringing back more than capable players. More than capable players. With Fisher and all those guys on defense, and obviously with a really, really good plethora of running backs still.
Surratt, top right. transfer quarterback right. Mendoza.
A lot of linemen coming back. So all I'm saying is just it's like essentially the SEC is the WWF, and this is in wrestling terms. The Big Ten is the NWA, and then everybody else is like the off-brand ones and, the, you know, ECW and all that stuff. Got a couple good guys that we might want to pluck from you, like one.
But we can pluck them from you because we're the big bad.
But we're not going to let your product get out there.
Right.
So, you know, it's I would say it's just not real. So, anyways, what is real, though, is the potential of the one transfer rule. The head man in charge of Ohio State is not happy. Ryan Day said it wouldn't make sense. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and decide whether Ryan Day is making sense or not. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, Old School. We'll be right back.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Back, Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, second segment. Austin, do we want to talk about Ryan Day complaining? We could save him a short segment. Or do you want to get Dana audio?
Ooh, we can do a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Let's see what Coach Dana is talking about.
How about QB2?
Hey, do you know I almost ran him over downtown?
Jay.
He don't even know.
Jay. Statute of limitations might not be over on this one.
But first of all, he was walking across. He was walking through. It was not his time to walk. I had the green light. My man did not break stride. He's like, oh, traffic's coming. I'm going. I think he had his kids or something. I never said anything to him. But he was almost not coaching. I'm like, oh, that dude looks familiar.
Can you imagine Dana Holgorsen doing the Mark Whipple coaching on crutches?
How'd you get hit? Oh, man. This forward dude. He's a forward player.
Let's just say we're done with the 90s here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, they're over.
No reunions or nothing. Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
Maybe they can have their 50, but that 30.
It would be like via like FaceTime. Hey guys, how you doing?
Who was it that smoked Mark Whipple on the sideline up at Rutgers?
I don't know. I think it was a plethora of guys.
I remember one vividly where he's standing there and he's coming right at him. And it's taken out.
Hey man. That sideline, especially. Well, you know, I got clipped down in Oklahoma.
Wait, like 2 years ago?
Yeah, when Nick Saner was down there spying on me.
So how did Nick get out of the way and you didn't?
Well, he wasn't. It was during the game.
Ah.
And I was not in the front row because I know better. Like
you've been on NFL college football sideline.
I cannot move. I know my statues. I know my limitations very well. So Oklahoma, like literally, they are on top of you, like at the visitor side. And so they had these speakers where they must have been, you know, crowd noise or whatever. So I was back. It was hot that day. So I was back there giving me some water, chilling. And I knew once they started coming closer towards like where I was, I get farther back. So I'm on the side there and not outside the, you know, the coach's box. So we're not supposed to be doing anything. Yo, they blew this Nebraska player, like, you know, running on the side, blew this cat up. And then he's sliding. And I was like pinned in. There was like the Gatorade and the fans, you know, because I was back there trying to get the mist.
Uh-huh.
And it was like a wall and then the bench. And then here they came. And then
right to Jay Foreman.
Oh my God. I lost it. 15 things go through your mind. About 20 things go through your mind. All right, do I go right or left? I can't go anywhere. All right. You know, what can I do? Then I'm thinking, like, all right, I can get one of these Gatorade things and in the way to break the, it's like, I can't, what if somebody gets hurt? That's the last thing I want, right? Then all of a sudden, here comes about 800 pounds of like college athletes. And I was like, all right, I'm going to try to time my jump. So I was timing it. Well, they hit something else, you know, kind of got, they got off court, hit something else. I got up there and then like, I didn't have any hang time.
Oh, no. Yeah, that piece of paper vertical.
No, I got up pretty good because I did like kind of a like a drop step. I got up pretty good, but gravity said, come back here real quick. Like, come here. Like, right now.
I got you.
What are you doing? Come back here. And then I hit like one of the things, the boxes or something. And the only thing I worry about is like, I hope nobody saw that. Hey, your boy popped up real quick. I was hurting, though. I got up real quick.
That's the important part.
Yeah, I got up
just
real quick.
Just because they knock you down.
I got up real quick, and then I always know you go left because then the cameras come over here. You ain't going to see me in there. Nope. Ain't going to have me on Instagram.
didn't hurt anything? Didn't tear anything? Didn't pop anything? No extra Tylenol or icy hot?
I was hot. I was sore for a little while, but I ain't telling nobody. Yeah, I got
shake that one off.
Hey, I got blasted. Blasted. Because it's like, oh, here it comes. And it's like, it's either, you
what
know.
What can you do?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just picturing you just like, in the ocean in Mexico, and all of a sudden, here comes a big wave.
That was it. And you know, brother, don't. Yeah,
okay.
You know, yeah.
Hold our breath. Here
you know,
we go.
Brother, don't swim well either. So,
how far down the current's taking me?
Yeah, exactly. So, as long as I live to fight another day. But let's listen to Coach Dana.
Here he is on TJ Lateef. What he saw from him in his Nebraska debut.
Yeah, he was highly recruited now. I mean, that's, you know, I knew who he was just from you know who everybody is when you're recruiting at this level. So, you know, I didn't recruit him. I didn't, but I knew who he was, and, you know, trust Glenn Thomas a lot for his you know, assessment on recruiting quarterbacks. I think he does an excellent job of coaching the quarterbacks. I think he does an excellent job of recruiting the quarterbacks. It looks like our room's in pretty good shape, and we know it's committed as well. So, you know, TJ's I'm just so thankful he was here in January. All right. So, you know, the four different installs of the four different periods of the year was very good for him. He sits there, and I'm in the quarterback room a lot, and I see what he's doing. He's taking a lot of notes, asking a lot of questions. He has the right responses. For a young kid, he's on track to being a really good player.
That's great, but that's not even the real reason why he's good. That's not even the real reason why TJ Latif is going to be a good player. That's not even it. It's because in his scouting report, he was a four-star recruit.
Mm-hmm.
They said he could run, right? But they did not mention the dead leg that he has in his arsenal.
Doesn't even matter if you put that in the scouting report, but that's hard to stop.
It is, but he hit him with the double dead leg. That's how I know he's serious. He hit him with the double dead leg. He hit him with he slowed down a little bit. Sized him up, hit him with essentially the basketball version of the in and out Allen Iverson setting you up, crossed him up like it looked like Michael Jordan, crossed him up, crossed him back. I'm out.
Sorry, Byron Russell.
Double night. Dead leg. The dead leg is undefeated. All these raw, you know, when you see people going to like all these wide receiver gurus and all that, you're wasting time. Running backs and all going through there. Like, remember when Ezekiel Elliott be going around track? You're just wasting time. Is this dead leg or bust?
Dead. Like,
yeah, no, but in all seriousness, it's good to have depth and good recruits in your quarterback room. And obviously Dylan's the, you know, head and shoulders the starters, and that's not going to change. But TJ Latif isn't backing down. He's a competitor.
On TJ Latif as well, I wrote this down in my notes. I need to double check, but I remember having this thought on TJ Latif's touchdown, and Dana Holgorsen brought it up, which is why I'm going to bring it up here. He did the rookie young player mistake, and Dana Holgorsen brought it up more about ball security. You know, TJ was the one that didn't do the 5 points as he crossed the goal line or whatever. You know what that reminded me of, Jay? Anthony Richardson in 2023 against Houston.
Yeah.
He starts slowing up at the goal line. He scores.
Yeah.
He gets rocked, ended up with the concussion.
Yeah.
I mean, TJ got popped crossing the goal line there.
Yeah.
You know, he scored, held on to the ball. That's all fine. But I did have flashbacks to Anthony Richardson in Houston in 2020.
Yeah, it could stymie your progress. It was getting a little too good to him out there. All he needs is one hit. You go start bracing yourself real quick.
But right after that, Tyler Kinnick says, "Nope, you're not doing that to my quarterback."
Yeah,
got right up in that guy's.
Yeah, face. I like it. The lineman got the quarterback's back and all that stuff. And but more important than that play right there, boy, that dead leg, that just got me hyped right there.
Saucy, spicy.
The best part,
smooth,
he just did.
Smooth, he's like butter.
The best part, he just sized them up. Oh, you want to come out here and get some of this?
Okay.
Here you go. I could be in a quarterback room. Dylan throw for 500 yards. I'm just replaying this millisecond by millisecond. That's all we're doing in meetings right now. But yeah, that's why I've been here and they are over there.
Dana Holgorsen on young guys making plays against Akron.
The ones that stood out to me were TJ, you know, and then Quinn made that play. I've seen him make that play in practice. Okay. And so, you know, now it's transferring over there onto the game field. He's going to keep having more role. You know, he'll play more and more every week. That was a spectacular play, and it was a catch and run. You know, last week I was complaining about the inability to be able to catch and run. Right. And so I felt like that improved. And that got me fired up. I mean, that was one of my, you know, that's pretty awesome play moment. And it was awesome for him to, you know, recognize his father crossing the goal line. And again, it was 5 points of pressure. And then he put the ball down about 7 yards in the end zone. And then in the back of the end zone, he acknowledged his father. That was a super cool moment for him. But it was a super cool moment for me to see the hard work that he's been doing in practice happen out there on the field. Carter Nelson took a step in the right direction. You know, Isaiah Mosey took a step in the right direction. So there's young guys that took advantage. Keelan Smith made a play, you know. So there's guys that had opportunities to go out there and do some good things, and they took advantage of their opportunities.
I mean, that's what you want. That's what you want in those games. I talked about, you know, we used to play teams like that. You want the younger guys to go in there and be successful. I think you have to be, continue to be aggressive when you get in games like this with guys that are, you know, your second and third team guys, potentially if they're, you know, true freshmen or redshirt freshmen because of the transfer portal, but more importantly, the 4-game redshirt rule. You got to really, it's essentially a 4-game look-see and development and all that stuff. And you could space out the games and as needed. And so you can't really sit on the ball. And the guys that he mentioned are the guys that you've seen and heard about from the spring. Smith, Quinn Clark, Carter Nelson. He had a big block, and it wasn't a blindside block. He faced the dude up and was pretty explosive. And so now, you know, that's – I always say this. You know, my roommate Mike Rucker, they have a play that they still play on the highlights in the stadium. At least I know they did it up to last year. And he was he ended up playing in the NFL. We both played 9 years, and he was a backup player, rotational player. But the way he earned more playing time was a big block on special teams. And what I'm saying is whether it's Carter Nelson catching the offensive coordinator's eye, the saying that he made a step. I mean, maybe he played the same way as he did against Cincinnati, but maybe that big block and some other things, you know, or maybe the block got his attention. Mm-hmm. Or like what he talked about with Quinn Clark, he's seen him make it in practice and kind of maybe like, okay, can he do it in the game? I think he played a couple of plays against Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Let's see if he can do it in live action. He does it. Keelan Smith, too. So those are guys that, you know, are taking advantage of the opportunity, but you need to do it in order to get talked about.
You bring up that 4-game redshirt rule. Of course, some of those guys that were mentioned have already used their redshirt. But with the understanding that each individual player's circumstance is different, Jay, if you're coaching, what would be the ideal way in your mind for a player to use their 4 games? Is it get in blowouts early in the season, sit, watch, develop through conference play? Is it, hey, you're in at the end of one of our non-conference blowouts, you get a couple spot reps here and there during Big Ten play because we've seen you come on, and then you're playing, you know, 30% of the time by the end of the year?
Yeah.
What do you think is the ideal, perfect world vacuum way to progress through the 4 games as a redshirt?
Yeah, ideally you'd like to go, you know, 2 in the non-conference, obviously these next 2 weeks, and then maybe 1 a few weeks later. And then 1 at the end. And obviously, depending on how the season's going, both as a team, more importantly, how you are progressing individually through practice and training and all that. And then also how the group or the group that you're, whether you're offensive lineman, linebacker, whatever, how that's going. I mean, all of it comes into it. But I think also, even if the guy is coming off a redshirt year, you can really try to play him extensively in there. I mean, it's roster management. It's emotional management. It's taking the temperature of your team, you know? And that's why I think you got to continue to be aggressive, because if you're a receiver and you're still trying to develop, and say, like, you know, back when we played, you'd always kind of sit on the ball. Well, now you can be situationally aggressive because I want to see what he can do against a team that, you know, Akron still played hard, right? Against maybe like opponents. Can you be productive? Can you run the checks and do all the stuff you need to do? And then it's part of your development as well, because those are actively teaching tapes that you can say, okay, look, against, you know, cover 3 and you're running a slant, you know, you got to run it this way. You know, based on the coverage and the situation, this is the check with me offense, or, you know, you could be talking to, you know, outside on the perimeter blocking and talk about technique and or what of that. You need to be extra aggressive.
I think it's been encouraging to not see a lot of drop off from the 1s to the 2s. I mean, you can tell when Dane Keene, Isaiah Hunter, and Ja'Cory Barnes Jr. are out there, right? Like, you know who those guys are. Sure, they move a little bit different. But in years past, Jay, I don't know about you, but for me, sometimes it's been kind of hold your breath when the second waves get in, especially wide receiver sometimes. Are they going to be in the right spot? Are they going to make the right play? Even if they're athletically talented, I think in some cases they should have been on the field more. I feel like with this wave of receivers that we've heard about for a couple of years now, it's starting to pay dividends for Nebraska, where you still have Key to make a couple big plays, right? Big time throw from Dylan, you know, far right hash, essentially back left across the field. And then the last touchdown they ended up throwing on the rollout. Isaiah Hunter has paid dividends. Ja'Cory Barney Jr., Nebraska's leading receiver last game. But if those guys are out of the game, Quinn Clark, Keelan Smith, Cortez Mills has a catch as well. You feel like Nebraska has options and has depth, then guys are going to be where they need to be, especially the skill position so far.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, everybody's got to go in and handle their business. I mean, very rarely do you get to walk in from high school and, you know, start off 4 years. Sometimes you got to work while you wait, and sometimes you got to be, you know, potentially patient, you know, because of maybe some holes and the lack of experience on your part. And then when you get a chance, you just got to make the most of it. So, you know, they've been, you know, potentially recruiting well. They've been getting different body types and all that type of stuff. So it's just a byproduct of, you know, getting a better roster every year. They've been trying to add to it and maybe changing how they're, you know, looking at what they need to add. And then these guys got to take advantage of the opportunity. And that's how you end up 68-0. And, you know, your backup quarterback has a good rating and everybody else coming in there. Like Quentin Knives came in. He's, you know, had, you know, average almost 9 yards a carry. So that's probably what gets you excited more than anything was the consistency, because the only way that you're going to be able to be really, really competitive down the stretch is have, you know, good on good and no drop off from the stars of the scout team. So anyways, we're going to take a quick break, come back. We'll talk about what Ryan Day thinks about the one transfer rule. They said it doesn't make sense. I think it doesn't make sense for him. He shops at a different store than the majority of people. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, we'll be right back.
Back to old school with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up, quick segment, Austin Orman, Jay Foreman, before we turn over teammates Tuesday. One last time, but some news out of Ohio State, Columbus. They asked Ryan Day about the potential one transfer rule or one time of the year. He said it doesn't make sense. I think they're trying to move it to what, January?
Yes, it would be, yeah.
For football, it'd be January. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In his case, he'd be well into the college football playoffs, right? So,
yeah, it's looking like it would be, yeah, like that semifinals kind of weekend.
And so that would take, he would face what Penn State faced. He would lose probably a few players. He would potentially get guys maybe to opt out. So then, therefore, you get towards the, you know, the end goal, and you know, his job is to win national championships. His job isn't to set you up to go to other schools, especially when he's recruited you and invested in you to be at Ohio State. And what teams are going to try to do is essentially pluck players off your roster to weaken your stronghold on college football and strengthen theirs. And so I don't think everybody, you won't have 100% people happy with if they go to it, but something needs to happen. I'm going to tell you what you need to do. Here's the fix. And this is knowledge today. If you want to really get college football back into shape, easy fix. If you take NIL money, you got to stay at least for 3 years. Period. Mm. Period. You get a big percentage of cost share, revenue sharing money outside of scholarship, you're staying.
But one that just gets back to the same system of these younger guys get paid under the table, signing bonuses, whatever.
Sure, but then the transfer portal, which has ruined college football, wouldn't do it. You wouldn't be able to because in the NFL, okay, essentially, if I have a down year, then I'm just going to stay on my contract. If I have a good year, even though I'm under contract, I can go shop myself to the Dolphins or the Vikings or something while I'm under contract. And then if I get a better contract from them, bye, and you're left. That's a good way to fix it.
Sure.
There you go.
See what you're going for. I like it.
There you go. Yeah. College football is fake, and I just figured out the transfer portal rule. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, old school. We'll holler at you tomorrow.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.